As I mentioned at the beginning of the service today, we're starting a new series, on prayer, because prayer is very important. The Pew Religion Research in America organization has revealed to us that among the people who call themselves Christians, 66% of them claim to pray every day. An even more astounding statistic is this, is that people of all persuasions, including some of no persuasion whatsoever, the average among Americans is at least once a week for a majority of Americans to pray. Now, when there's some kind of a disaster that takes place, whether a mass shooting or an earthquake, a tornado, and there's a lot of damage and hurt, the politicians, the public figures will say things like, "You are in my thoughts and prayers." Now, maybe they spend at least a few seconds in thought. I'm not sure how serious they are about the matter of prayer, yet there's something about prayer that captures the imagination and that is valued by people in general. So what is prayer all about? What is this thing that we call praying? So today I'm going to invite you into an adventure through the rest of the month of August as Pastor Dreyer and I we'll be talking about several important issues about prayer. And today I want to introduce it, a kind of a 101, a primer on prayer, six simple points about prayer, and then a few thoughts of application. So, as we begin, what should we do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming among us today. We thank you for your holy presence bringing us the blessings of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we present ourselves before you, we thank you that you present to us your truth, life-giving truth from your word. May we, Lord, hear and heed and follow. All of this we pray through the merits of Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not really changing the subject when I talk about grandkids. I look out there and I say, yeah, there are a bunch of grandparents out here. And you know what grandparents kind of generally agree on is that it would have been nice to skip that generation in between you and the grandkids, because the grandkids are such a delight. You know, you can play with them, you can tickle them, you can tease them, you can give them horsey rides, you can do all kinds of things with them, you can cuddle them and enjoy them. And when they're all hyper, you can just send them on home. Wow, what a great thing. Should have skipped that generation between. But you know what? I found that grandchildren can teach you a lot about human nature. Now, my second oldest grandson, who is now a senior in high school, taller than I am, and all bulked up for football season. Well, back when he was a little preschooler, and he had gotten a Happy Meal, and you know, you get a toy, and then he's trying to put it all together. He's got some frustration as he's doing this. It's just not working right. Now, my temptation is to just grab it out of his hand and say, "Here, man, I'll fix it for you. Boom, boom, boom. Here it is." But that doesn't work real well. When you do that with your grandkids, you really don't end up being their hero. And so I thought, okay, what do I do here? So I said, "Matt, do you want to do that all by yourself, or would you like some help?" And he said, "I'm going to do it by myself." Okay. So a few more minutes of frustration and futility, and he hands over the pieces and says, "Okay, Papa, help me." Now, what does that have to do with prayer? It's kind of like this. We try to run our lives on our own, put the pieces together, fix our own problems, which is part of our childish pride. When there is divine help available, we often stubbornly stick to our own ways and our frustration and futility. But now Matt had to realize what his limitations were, and he had to have that by experience and then finally hand it over to someone who had a little more experience in putting toys together. So he could do that because he and I had a relationship. And that is how relationships work. So point number one, and what I want to share of 6 points, is this, that prayer is relationship. It is an expression, and it is an exercise of a relationship. going back to Luke chapter 11 that I read earlier, in the 11th verse, Jesus puts this out before us. He says, what father among you, if his son, I'm going to pause here because you have father, son, that's relationship, you know, parent, child, that's relationship. When he asks for a fish, instead of a fish, we'll give him a serpent. There's a relationship. He doesn't play games with us. He addresses what it is that we bring to him because he's our Heavenly Father. So prayer is an expression and it is an exercise of a relationship. Jesus is teaching all about that in the 11th chapter of Luke. And right after he's given us the Lord's Prayer, you know, the Father, the Son, you know, Father, our Father in heaven. And it talks about a friend who comes to the house at midnight. Comes to the, knocks on the door, pounds on the door. Hey, I had unexpected company. They just came in and I'm out all the food. I got to put some food in front of them. You got to help me. Help me. Give me 3 loaves of bread. The answer he gets is, hey, my kids are all asleep. The security is set for the night. But then because this is a friend, there's a relationship. You can pester him until finally he says, yes, I will help you. Now, people oftentimes say, well, I don't want to bother God with all the little stuff. Well, if God would be a really small and very finite God, you know, that might make sense. But it makes no sense when you realize that God is absolutely infinite and God is infinite love. And he would say, hey, go ahead, bother me, talk to me, ask me, blabber on and on. I don't care. I've got big ears. In fact, as I do care. Prayer is an expression and an exercise of a relationship. And where there is a relationship, we come to point number two. There's conversation. Conversation. Remember that little cell phone thing? Okay? It's not meant to be a monologue. Now, you take your cell phone out and you're talking to somebody and they've got you on speakerphone. That impedes the conversation, by the way, because you can't talk, you know, at the same time to each other. You know, only one person can be on at a time. And if you talk fast enough and don't give any pauses, that person will never get in. That's a lot of times how people are in their prayers. They treat it as some kind of a monologue. You know, just me, and I'm talking to God, and he's going to listen, and then I'll hang up, and then we're done. But if there's a conversation, we have to learn how to listen. How do you do that? With God? Well, here's how you start. This is your listening post. The Word. What are the promises that he gives here? What are the directives he gives us? And you just kind of go on through. What are the necessary things in a conversation? And God initiates it through the Word. And on the basis of what he commands us, what he promises to us, the blessings that he is eager to bestow upon us, we then begin our conversation. Talk to me, he says. Ask, seek, knock, bring your needs, bring the needs of others. In fact, is do the acts, A-C-T-S. You know how that goes? You know, just line them up vertically, A-C-T-S. And you fill in the blank. And the A stands for adoration. God, you are incredible. God, you are infinite. God, I just can't imagine how you would love us so much. You are above the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. You just can hardly stop yourself when you start giving into adoration in the presence of the Lord and just acknowledging who he is. But then we have to acknowledge who we are. That's where the C in the word acts comes in. Recall that confession. You recall last week Pastor Teves was preaching and he talked about the importance of emptying ourselves so that we can be more filled, less of us and more of him. Confession is emptying out the sin, the guilt, all that stuff, so that we can be filled more and more with him, with his presence, with his holiness, with his righteousness. The T stands for thanksgiving. And you know, we have so much more to thank God for than we have to gripe about in our lives. As a matter of fact, if we would just stop griping and start thanking, our lives would improve immeasurably. Social science research tells us that people who walk around with gratitude in their hearts are happier, healthier, so much better off than people who are never a moment away from another gripe. Okay, so that's thanksgiving. And finally, the S, a fancy word for asking. It's supplication, bringing the needs. And he says, ask, seek, knock. But I've heard people say, well, I really don't know how to pray. But I want you to know is this. That's really something extremely difficult to botch up, okay? You can't mess it up, because God would rather hear our messed up prayers than no prayers at all. And a little bit, I'm going to tell you how God fixes that up. So whatever it is, you just bring it to the Lord. Just, you know, be right out there. Okay. Besides that, could we ever offer up to God anything that's perfect? The only perfect thing we could ever offer up to him is what comes from Jesus. Okay? So our prayers can get better just as our conversations can get better. But it's really simple. That prayer is an expression and an exercise of a relationship. Where there's a relationship, there's conversation. And it's important to remember this, that prayer is a gift. It's a gift. Prayer is a gift. In fact, it's an invitation into the realm of blessing. Prayer isn't something we came up with. Prayer comes because God wants a connection with us. You see, sin is separation. Sin is disconnect. And when God came in Jesus Christ into our earth, we call that the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, in Jesus Christ, he came because he was passionate to reestablish the connection with us, reopening the lines of communication. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says this, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you of great and hidden things that you have not known. It's simple. 333. Don't call 911. Use 333. Okay? Jeremiah 333. Call to me. And what's the promise? I will answer you. This is an invitation to access blessings that God has available to us. There's a whole storehouse full of blessings, most of them just unclaimed. And if we went to the Lord asking, seeking, knocking, it's incredible the kinds of blessings that can come. And Jesus says, and the Heavenly Father doesn't play games with us, okay? You ask for what, son? If you ask for bread, the dad would tease him and give him a stone instead. Or if you ask for an egg, would give him a scorpion. Ask for a fish and we'd give him a snake. Well, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts, so much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask. And then in Luke, it includes the fact it is the best gift of all is his presence, his Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, another thing to remember, besides that prayer is a relationship, prayer is a gift, prayer is conversation, and that is that prayer is a response of faith. It is a response of faith to the promised invitation into grace and blessing. You see, God comes to us in the cross, invites us into a relationship of faith, and we may talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts, but you know what's even more important is Jesus has invited us into him. Into his heart, into his presence. And in that, you know what he gives us? Fruit of the Holy Spirit, like love, joy, peace. And he gives us an abundance of forgiveness. He holds nothing back. He says, well, I can only forgive 2/3 of your sin today. No, 100%, the whole shot. Everything you've messed up with, I am fixing up. And he invites us into a family, into a relationship with a father and having brothers and sisters. And he calls us into increasing faith and trust. Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians in the 4th chapter. Let's revisit that. I read it earlier, but it says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, there's a contrast where the word but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Pause right here. Already, before the answer comes, you thank God? Well, if God were playing games, you wouldn't chance that. But God being God, you believe it? You believe that God is really God? Well, then when you pray, give him thanks right away. Why wait for everything to play out? Give them thanks right away because you have that kind of confidence in your Heavenly Father. That's faith. You do it with thanksgiving and let your request be made known to God. And what results? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, it doesn't get any better than that. Nothing is better than Jesus in our lives. So prayer is an expression and exercise of a relationship. Faith and just trust in the promises that God has made and has fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the next point I want to make is this, is that prayer is effective through the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know, every prayer is heard and heeded. But it's obvious that not every prayer receives the answer that we wanted to begin with. And you know what? I want you to know, that is a good thing. That's a good thing. God is attentive to every prayer that is delivered through the hand of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what this praying in the name of Jesus is about. It's like handing it over so that he can deliver it to the Father. And when he delivers it, he delivers it in those holy hands. You see, if I brought it in my hands alone, my hands are filthy. But the pure hands of Jesus that have scars from nails, bringing him to the Father, why, that's the perfect delivery system. Last week, Pastor Teams talked about being covered with the righteousness of Jesus so that when the Father looks at us, what does he see? He doesn't see the sin. He sees Jesus. In Galatians, we're told that all who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, do you have Christ on you? You got your Christ outfit, your Christ robe? Yes, in Jesus Christ, you have that. So when the Father looks at you, what does he see? He sees Jesus. You see, it's all about a relationship. That's what prayer in the name of Jesus is all about. And that name is a powerful name. And Jesus said this. He said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, I can really imagine some objections that come when I say this. I say, okay, yeah, but my prayers are so imperfect. Even if the hands of Jesus are perfect and spotless and clean and got the nail marks in, my prayers are pretty pitiful at times. How can I expect to get a blessing with that? But now here's where the Holy Trinity comes in. I'm going to quote to you from Romans, the 8th chapter, because this is Trinitarian. You know, our prayers going to the Father, delivered by the Son, but before they get there, they have to go through the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul writes. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That would be in our imperfect praying, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because, here, the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, when it is placed in the hands of the Lord, okay, delivered through Jesus, but along the way, changed, perfected, transformed into the will of God through the Holy Spirit. So, you know why I said it's pretty hard to mess that up. When we commend it to him. You see, he transforms our imperfect prayers, conforms them to the will of the Heavenly Father. Even when our prayers are off base and inarticulate, he wants to hear from us. But you know what? I don't know about you, but with me, it happens sometimes that right along when I'm going along my praying, and then the devil tries to intimidate and deceive me. And when I'm praying, he likes to remind me of my sin, things that I've done that I know God did not like. They were, you know, contrary to the will of God. And I'd say, oh, I guess I don't stand, I don't have good standing. I don't have the right to bring all of this. But we have to remind ourselves and remind the devil that Jesus and the Spirit are interceding for us, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers me. When the Father looks at me, he sees Jesus. The prayers then, I mean, get this, have as much right to be heard and answered by the Father as the prayers of Jesus himself. That is absolutely an amazing thing. It depends not upon your character, does not depend upon our behavior. It is totally dependent upon the character of God. Let me tell you a little bit about the character of God. No, let David, the psalmist, tell you about the character of God. He says this about God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. And prayer is simply the expression and the exercise of a relationship between you and a God who has that kind of loving, forgiving character. Finally, this is point number six, and that is prayer is an adventure. You know, seeking, finding, asking, receiving, accessing the promises of God. What's out there that you haven't yet discovered? There is more, yet more. Who of us can say, well, I have reached the top level in prayer. You can't teach me anything anymore. Oh, God has a lot to teach us, and he wants us to keep on asking, seeking, knocking. You know, those words that Jesus uses, the tense that he uses them in is like it's an ongoing. Think of prevailing prayer. Keep on. It's an adventure. And when you place everything in his hands, or when you relinquish every matter to him completely, all in the hands of God, look out. Interesting things are going to happen. You're on the adventure. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews tells us. Chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with, the word is confidence, okay? Don't be intimidated. Don't be wimpy. Come with confidence before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, looking at the watch here, I guess I have time for one more little story. This is a personal story. It goes back to when my kids were in elementary school. They were in Lutheran school. We were living in Michigan. And they had seen so often, our church was very much a praying church. People, you know, it kind of caught on to that. And we had prayer chains, and, you know, you get something started, and then would go through the whole, ripples through the whole congregation. Everybody would be praying, and then they'd be excited to hear the answers to the prayers. So our kids had witnessed, you know, that people turn to the Lord in prayer. They had witnessed that God answers prayer, witnessed that God does miracles. And, okay, I said they were in school, elementary school, but they were tired of school. And it was about time to have snow vacation, but the forecast said, no snow, no snow. So what did they do? They called everybody in their class, and it was a Lutheran school, as I said. They called everybody in their class, and we're starting a prayer chain that we won't have school tomorrow because it's going to snow. Ha, 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 we said. Well, this will be a test of their faith. And, you know, lo and behold, 16 inches of snow in 3 days, there was no school. Okay, God has a great sense of humor. He likes to listen sometimes even to our silly prayers. Don't worry about, you know, making them really serious and mature. Just have a confident relationship with the Lord. That's what he wants. He's a father with his kids. That's the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, and he invites us into that. Well, may the Lord just excite us about that whole matter of prayer. And in this series that Pastor Dreyer and I will be having with you, may we just grow those next steps. Next week, Pastor Dreyer will be talking about the Lord's Prayer. That's the perfect prayer. The week after that, I'll be here to be talking about prayer that saves a nation. Because, you know, if anything needs our prayer, it would certainly be our country, our nation, in dire need of it.